At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
See new things, try new things, go back centuries while living in the moment, forge new paths while discovering old ones, pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Welcome in to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis. It's time to flock up. The New Orleans Pelicans podcast starts right now.
Well, happy Monday to you as we welcome you to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans. Hopefully the time change didn't affect you too much. I won't lie, it has absolutely affected me. Jim Eichenhofer here was 2 hours early to our podcast today, as he is so excited to talk about the win. So we had a great time at Mid-City Yacht Club yesterday, back on Friday, Reds Up Tilly Tavern, 2 watch parties. It was so much fun to be out and about in the community. And Jim, before we get into that game, man, that atmosphere was awesome. You saw yesterday, gorgeous day, but there are Pels fans everywhere in this city excited, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to see the enthusiasm and excitement that people had. We see it in the arena all the time at the home games, but it was fun to have a, like you said, a gorgeous Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock start. Tons of people were there at Mid-City Yacht Club, and the way that the team played, they delivered and made everyone extremely happy to an even larger degree 2.5 hours later.
Yeah, it definitely made you feel like you were at the game watching it. Every dunk, every alley-oop, every three made brought a lot of cheers over there at Mid-City Yacht Club. 116-103 was the final. The Pels taking care of the Hawks after beating 2 previous teams to go 3-0 on that road trip. But first, to recap what happened yesterday, this is what it sounded like on the Pelicans Radio Network.
And Craig, you will go coast to coast. No, says Zion Williamson, who comes from nowhere and swats that thing into the fourth row far side.
The chase down block.
Dribble, drives on Herb, stripped by Herb, taken by Jonas.
Herb is giving DeJounte Murray the blues early in this game.
The block by Fernando, taken by Nance up top, Trey for three.
Oh, Trey. Kenneth Murphy the third.
From deep. Downtown.
All these trays here in the first half.
Steel Nance got it to Zion. Crosses over. 3-on-1. See alley-oop Trey! Dunk it down!
Shut the flock up.
And it to Herb. Right angle. Oh, that's way off. Oh, he banked it in. That's why it was way off.
I don't know who Herb was pointing at, but somebody must have called Brick and he banked it in. There's no way he's trying to do that.
No way. Murphy. Shot fake, right at the top three.
Oh, yes, sir. Splash. That is wet.
Nothing but nylon for Kenneth Murphy III, who's got 26 points now. Steel Nance, 3-on-1. Najee to Z, lays it in with a right hand from the right side.
Everybody eats. When you get, oh, and Jose Grand theft him.
Yep, to Najee down low, lays it in. GTA back at Georgia.
He was hiding in front of the Pels bench. He caught DeJounte Murray unaware and ripped him.
Into Nance in the lane. Shovel to Z. Rock it back and throw it down with two hands.
Larry Nance finds the dead spot in that zone on the inbound, and Z cuts baseline.
And Williamson, all of a sudden, that's 20 points. And now a steal, a throwaway. Nance up the floor, Zion sizing him up, hangs in the air, scooping layup.
He was going to hammer it.
Herb just checked in, shot clock at 5. Jose right corner three. He did it again.
Grand theft.
That's the second time tonight that a Pelican has hit two straight corner threes in opposite corners. Shot clock at 2. Throw it up left hand. No! Follow up in. Lefty hammer. Zion.
Z doing what Z does. They get him in a scramble defensively, and Z with the hammer.
McCollum crosses over. 3 ball. Yo!
Oh, yes, Christian James.
Dagger McCollum.
Get back in rhythm, sir.
John the Shazer and Todd Graffinini with the call there. Head coach Willie Green, his thoughts on the team's win.
It's extremely important, and we'll continue to take it game at a time. But just tremendously blessed to be able to win these 3 games, coach this amazing group, be around the people that we're around. It's fun. And it goes back to our defense once again. Herb Jones was incredible. DeJounte Murray is a heck of a player, all-star caliber player. He's doing a bit of everything for this squad right now with injuries. And Herb made it extremely difficult on him all night. And, it triggered our defense.
Trey Murphy, 6 threes, another magnificent night of shooting for him. That shooting slump long gone.
I would just say staying even. That's been the biggest thing for me my entire life is not getting too high, not getting too low, no matter what happens, because if you work hard and you treat the game right, eventually things are going to happen for you, and that's how they have been my entire life. So I just knew eventually I was going to get back out of it.
As for Zion, he led the team in scoring with 27 points. He also went to the free throw line 10 times, knocked down 7, 6 boards, 7 assists as well. Here's what he had to say on the team coming home 3-0 on the road trip.
It's consistency. So for us to go 3-0 on this trip, that's great momentum for us. Just got to keep it up.
So the Pelicans are now 38-25, and that is one heck of a record, Jim Eichenhofer, as we now start our bulk of our conversation. Let's just start there, being 14 games above 500. It's the first time since a long time since that's happened. What, 2017, 2018? Mm-hmm. That was towards the end of the season. The significance of having, 18 games left or something of that nature?
18, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that you're this far ahead above 500. What does this mean right now?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people, and more of, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Yes, I mean, they got to 14 games over 500 in the very last game of the 2017-18 season. So actually on Wednesday when the Pelicans host the Cleveland Cavaliers, they'll have a chance to be 15 games over for the first time since the franchise rebranded as the Pelicans in 2013. Obviously, before that, in the Hornets era, they were over, you know, 15-plus games over. They had a season where they finished 56-26. But since the team changed to its current form, this is territory that we haven't seen before as far as having a chance to go so far over 500. Mm-hmm. They haven't had a 50-win season as the Pelicans yet either. They only need to go 11-7 in their last 18 games to do that. So, I mean, this is fun. I mean, they're playing some extremely good basketball right now. Just a couple different kind of facts and stats. I mean, they're 13-4 in their last 17 games. They are 29-16 since December 1st, which is the league's sixth best record. When CJ McCollum plays over the course of the whole season, they're playing at a 6-6-7 clip. They've won 32 out of the 48 games that he's played in. So, I mean, it's not just that recently they've played well. You could go back really far, including, I think, December 1st was Trey Murphy's season debut. If you go back to mm-hmm. that point, they've been close to a top five team in the NBA in a bunch of different categories, including the most important one, which is winning and losing. So they've, you know, obviously now they're on a four-game winning streak with the 3-0 road trip, longest active winning streak in the league, and they'll have a chance to make it five on Wednesday against Cleveland.
So the next three will be at home, Jim, as you take on Cleveland. As you mentioned, Friday, the Clippers. We just had a fun conversation. We'll get to it, I guess, by the time on Friday. I completely forgot about the game at L.A., in which the Pelicans did play very well. It's because probably I remember the stinker against the Lakers right after that. But you're going to get to face them again. That's going to be an important game, obviously. Cleveland's playing really well right now. They take mm-hmm. on the Suns tonight in a game that you're rooting for Cleveland.
Sure.
But I don't think it's any coincidence Donovan Mitchell's healthy and playing well as to why they're doing well. And then on Saturday, the Trailblazers, it's a back-to-back, so that's going to be a difficult one here as well. But I'd love to see where the blender's going to be. We'll focus on that here in a quick sec. But as we look at the standings, we talked about it in the pregame yesterday and going into the game. The Pelicans have had help. We said it a week ago mm-hmm. that a week from now, this was last Monday, are we going to be sitting in this office going, man, if you go 3-0, you can make some movement. Well, I have the standings in front of us. And when you look at where you are, the Clippers are 3.5 back of now the Thunder. The Nuggets have moved to second, one game back. Minnesota's fallen to third, a game and a half back. Remember, last Wednesday, I think it was when the Carl Anthony Towns news hit, or was mm-hmm. it Wednesday or Friday?
I can't remember what day it was, but yeah.
But he's going to be out a while. He had mm-hmm. a meniscus injury, and he had knee surgery, so he's going to be out a little bit. The Clippers are right there, 3.5 back. Pelicans in fifth, six games back. Now you have opened up a two-game lead on the Suns, though, who are in six. Mm-hmm. The Kings are seventh, 8.5 back, so 2.5 game lead on them. The Mavericks are eighth. You have a three-game lead on them. Jim, your favorite team, the Lakers, you have a four-game lead on them at nine. And the Warriors, 11.5 back at 10, five and a half.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Look, let's just start there. I don't think this is that kind of season, but last year this team was 9-10, right? I mean, they were playing the win or go home play-in. Mm-hmm. Jim, with 18 games, it's getting better and better chances or odds that you're not going to be in that situation. I'm not saying you can't,
right?
But with 18 games, that's a lot of ground for those two teams to make up, would you say?
For sure. I mean, and the biggest thing is if the Pelicans just keep playing the way that they're playing, it's not going to matter what the other teams do. I mean, the fact that they've been able to gain ground on pretty much everyone lately. I mean, obviously, when you win four games in a row, you can't lose ground on anyone. But even over a longer period of time, the fact that they've built up the cushion that you mentioned, even on Phoenix, which is in sixth place right now. So they've put themselves in a really good position where, I mean, we're still going to do a ton of scoreboard watching. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll speak for myself on that. But it is nice to not be in a position where you feel so much pressure and so much frustration when there's a game where you're rooting for a team to lose and they pull it out at the end on a buzzer beater or something like that or, you know, what have you. But yeah, it's been, they've been benefiting a ton from the way that some of these other teams have struggled. It feels like the pack of teams that are right behind New Orleans, whether it's Phoenix, Sacramento, Dallas, it seems like all of those teams to some extent have struggled lately. So that helps a lot. It also seems like the team that's – the Pelicans have been in fifth now, I mean, by the standards of what we've been used to. That they've been in fifth for quite a nice little stretch here where it's been multiple days. We're used to things changing hands all the time. But that sixth spot has seems like it's a different team every day. But I think that a lot of that speaks to the fact that those teams have been losing a lot. So it's like – Sacramento moves into six, but then they lose, and then Phoenix moves up back up ahead of them, and then vice versa. You know, you mentioned Phoenix playing Cleveland tonight, so Phoenix is actually about to go into a really tough road trip where they play some good teams. They play Boston and Milwaukee also on this trip, so, I mean, maybe the Pelicans can continue to add to the little bit of lead that they have on Phoenix, Sacramento, Dallas. Another thing, too, you know, you mentioned the game Friday against the Clippers. I promised myself I wasn't going to get into this discussion too in-depth until the Pelicans got within three games of the Clippers. They're now 2.5 behind them. So I think Friday is going to be really interesting from the standpoint of, you know, let's assume that the difference is still 2.5 between, you know, when we get there Friday for the tip-off of that game. That game's going to be huge. They'll have a chance to get within 1.5 of the Clippers if that's still the case. So, I mean, I do think that you can definitely start looking at the four seed as possible and having home court advantage in the first round, which New Orleans has not had home court advantage in a series since 2008. So, I mean, that would be quite a nice accomplishment to do that for the first time in 16 years.
That is a long time.
It certainly is.
When you look at the Western Conference, the Pelicans, they have the longest win streak right now. They've won four straight. Oklahoma City's won three straight. The Nuggets, two straight. When you look at the last 10, right, that last column on the standings, as you look at when you pull up the page here, Thunder 8-2, Nuggets 8-2, Pelicans 7-3. Everybody else is 5-5 all the way until you get to the Kings are 6-4, Lakers 6-4, Warriors 6-4. But that's what we've been talking about, right? When you look at those 10-game stretches, if you're a game or two above 500, you're going to kind of sustain, I think, where you are. What you have to avoid is 4-6 in the last 10, 3-7 in your last 10. But here's the thing, Jim. It's almost along the lines of what we saw yesterday. I must have elbowed you 15 times and said, I never at one point in that game felt like the other team was better than the Pelicans. Like, does that make sense? Look, obviously there are runs, there are stretches where a team goes cold or not, but I'm like, I'm looking at a team that, especially on this road trip, I thought played mature basketball. I thought did the things they needed to do. Started out quick in all three games. I love the aggressiveness you saw. I think the defensive effort and energy was awesome. You can go back to Philly and pinpoint specifically what went wrong there. And it, look, you get up by 35, I get it.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to win by 70.
They closed it. Mm-hmm. They closed it. And that's something, Jim, they hadn't done. So when you look at this road trip, what stood out to you? I just mentioned two or three things to me that make me feel comfortable, Jim, that I don't see this team going 3-7 in 10 games.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm still working on the bruises from all the elbows you gave me yesterday. I apologize. But no, I think one of the biggest reasons why there is a calm feeling in a lot of these games to me lately is because the Pelicans' defense is playing at such a high level that you just don't see some of these other teams putting together a 70-point half, which in a lot of cases, that's what they're going to need to be able to overcome being down 25, 30 points. I mean, the Philly almost did it, but I mean, the level that you have to play at for such a long period of time when you're down by as much as they were is almost unattainable. When Elvin Gentry was here, he always talked about how there's a perfect storm that you, when you're down by that much, you need like everything to go right. And how often does every single thing that you need break the way that you need it to in your favor to be able to pull off a comeback like that? So yeah, I mean, you got to give them credit that they were able to get it from 35 to only down by five. But I think we see that, maybe not to that extreme, but we see that all the time in the NBA where a team gets down 20, 25, they get it, they make it interesting in the last few minutes, but then they just ultimately don't have enough to pull it off, partly because, I mean, you a lot of times you do expend a ton of energy just trying to cut into that big of a deficit. So, but I think it's really, to me, it's two things, and I was going to kind of expound upon this. I talked about this a little bit on the weekend and some of the stuff that we did on the radio. to me, there's two areas that the Pelicans have an big advantage on some of the teams that are right behind them in the standings, and those are defense that I just referred to and also depth. I mean, there's a lot of areas that people talk about when they analyze the race right now between 5 and 10 in the West. I feel like sometimes, honestly, like we're talking about NBA Jam, where people are saying, like, people only talk about, and this is definitely true from a national perspective because you kind of have to give like a surface level analysis of the situation. But I mean, people talk about, you know, well, the Mavs have Kyrie and Luka and the Lakers have AD and LeBron. But I'm like, we're not playing NBA Jam. We're playing 5-on-5. We're playing an 82 game season. You have to have 9 or 10 players that you can count on. And one of the things I talked about Sunday during the pregame, I think it was if you look at the defensive rankings for the teams that are in this 5-10 race, mm-hmm. Pelicans are 6th in defense. They've been in that spot. They've been a top 10 defense all season. Every other team that's in this race, Phoenix is 13th, the Lakers are 17th, Golden State's 18th, Sacramento's 20th, Dallas is 22nd. So when we talk about why are the Pelicans ahead of those teams in the standings, even though some of these other teams might have bigger stars or bigger name brand guys at the top of their roster, it's because 50% of the game is at the other end of the floor that we don't pay as much attention to. And the other thing, too, is, you know, I think people often underrate the importance of depth because we are, and nationally, people are so focused on the stars of these teams and how they do. But if you look at bench plus minus among the same group of teams, Pelicans are 2nd in bench plus minus, which shows how much of a game-changing factor that the second unit has been. Golden State's 5th, Sacramento's 11th, Dallas is 14th, and then Lakers and Phoenix are both in the bottom half of the league in terms of bench plus minus. Lakers are 18th, Suns are 21st. So if you take...
I want to stop you real quick there. You're on a roll, and you're giving me some great stuff. But is that the kind of stuff that can affect a series?
Yes, because... I mean,
because that's the goal, right? I mean, it's not about trying to win a game. It's trying to win 4 sure. out of 7 games.
I mean,
and you're bringing up depth, and you're bringing up plus minus, and you're bringing up the Pels being 2nd in plus mm-hmm. minus off the bench. And we talked about it yesterday, their effect. But is that the kind of stuff that can win you a series?
Yes, because you can't play 5 guys 48 minutes. You have to fill in the minutes. I think you have to. It's definitely true that the bench and the depth is less of a factor in the playoffs than it is in the regular season because teams tend to play maybe 8 or 9 guys instead of 10 or 11, and they tend to rely on their top 6 or 7 guys more. But you still need guys that can come in off the bench. I mean, I think that was a huge reason why Denver won the championship last year and why there was some skepticism coming into this year in terms of, you know, they lost Bruce Brown and they lost Jeff Green. Those guys were huge reasons why the Nuggets were able to win. And not only win the championship, but really roll through the playoffs. If anything, it was underrated, the fact that they only lost like 4 games in the entire postseason. So I do think that does matter. And going back to the defensive part of it, I mean, if you're 6th in the NBA in defense, and just for example, Dallas is 22nd, that's a huge advantage if you have a playoff series against them. Sacramento's 20th in defense. Golden State's 18th. So, I mean, those are huge reasons why, I get your question as far as the bench goes, that it's less of a factor. But, I mean, defensively, you have to factor that in. I mean, Dallas didn't make the play-in game last year. I feel like people keep forgetting that when they talk about, you know, yes, Luka and Kyrie is dangerous, but they finished 11th in the West last year. And a lot of it was because they weren't a good defensive team. So the defense is costly. If you're not a good defensive team, a lot of times that explains why teams that have look really good on paper don't achieve as much as people expect them to, because the defensive end of the floor is so important. And for the Pelicans, that's, to me, game in and game out, the fact that they're a really good defensive team mm-hmm. is the reason why, as the season progresses, we get more and more confident in them, because they don't have these games where, knock on wood, where they're giving up 145 points the way that some of these teams, or 130 the way that Dallas frequently does.
And I almost feel, too, like I can hear analysts, whether it's Barkley or Shaq or the ESPN crew as well, in the postseason, where the bench players play such a key role in home games, right? They tend to have better games in the postseason than on the road, and that's sort of the thing, which is maybe why you want to get that home field advantage there as well, where GTA can go GTA and the blender goes bananas, Najee from three, things of that nature. You keep talking about defense and defense rating, how good they think they are. Trey Murphy had this to say after the game yesterday about whether or not he was surprised that the Pelicans are literally one of the best teams defensively in the NBA.
No, not at all. Like, if you watch us in training camp or in practice, like, you just see how hard we play. And I think that's the biggest thing that defense is about, is just playing hard and then being smart. And, you know, I feel like we've gotten smarter throughout the season and figuring out each other and knowing, like, when to help, when not to help. And so I think it's just been, you know, the identity of our team.
So when you hear him say that, Jim, look, he's not surprised, and his team works on it, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised. The coach literally says that. Quite honestly, the coach doesn't play players unless they learn to play defense. Mm-hmm. So we probably shouldn't be surprised that this is the DNA of it. But it is crazy when you think of the success they've had behind the arc, the offensive options that they have, and now you're adding the defense. I want to throw in one more wrinkle, or not wrinkle, but I guess observation that I'm seeing. I don't know if it's the three games, or maybe it's, Jim, to be honest with you, the fact that the last two games being watch parties, I've been able to actually watch the games and just kind of focus on that here a little bit more. I'm finding that I feel when I watch them play, this team is growing up before my eyes, maturing before my eyes when it comes to how to play offense. And here's what I'm getting at. Yesterday, I brought it up to you. Perfect example. I'm looking at the box score. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, what is this, the game we just watched? I refreshed it. I thought maybe it was just stuck. Brandon Ingram had 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
How many assists did he had?
It was 10, right?
10 yep. assists.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it, and I looked at you and we talked about it in the post game. I felt like Brandon Ingram was involved in that game, right? Like, you get what I'm getting at? I absolutely thought he was a key part of that game. Well, he was. He had 10 assists, but it's just crazy when you think he had 7 points. I looked, there was a stretch there in the third and fourth quarter. Jonas finished with 4 points, but 9 rebounds, right? Those moments that you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Herb Jones, man, it sure felt like he had more than 7 points, though, right? But on that road trip, the one shot that he had at Philly late was that shot. Yesterday, same thing, kind of hit that one big bucket to kind of help him. I was 1-3, but it was the right time on that. CJ had 20, and of course, Trey finished with 28. But I just keep thinking to that one moment, and I remember I told you I wanted to bring it up today. 6:01 in the third quarter, they had gotten it down to 9. Mm-hmm. And even though I didn't feel like you were at risk, I still felt the Pels were the better team. But there was a sequence that I know wasn't going to be in recaps, and it probably wasn't going to be on the box score because there's no way to look at it, but I wanted to bring it up because I think it was the game. They get it to 9, and then they come right back down, and here's the maturation. Zion has 3 jerseys around him that have Hawks written on it. CJ feeds him from the left wing to the left elbow. He goes and kisses it off the glass. Bucket. Now it's an 11-point game. Herb Jones then gets the steal. They get a bucket. Forgot who scored it. Might have been Herb. I think he lays it in. Now it's in 13-point game. Timeout Atlanta. And then it got eventually to 19-20 mm-hmm. points ball right. game. But mm-hmm. that's what I'm talking about right there. The understanding of, hey, let's go to our guy. Zion understanding. I'm eating. Give it to me. He wanted it. You saw him look for CJ. He fed him.
Sure.
And then what your point, defense, Herb doing what he did. That's a 9-point game, Jim. Instead of a bad shot early in the shot clock, long rebound, they come back. The graph goes nuts because, you know, they shoot a 3. It's now a 6-point game. Willie's probably calling a timeout. Or if they score a regular mm-hmm. bucket, it's 7. And that crowd all of a sudden is going nuts. But instead, the Pel showed, I think, maturity on offense. Zion wanted the ball. They found him. It's an 11-point game. Defense, steal, layup, 13-point game. Timeout Hawks. It's 19 before you know it on the blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. That, to me, showed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the maturation of this team, I think, you know, you mentioned Ingram had 7 points, and this is something that Willie Green, I think, referenced in his post-game speech to the team. I'm not sure if you got a chance to see that, but he was talking about how, like, they've gotten to the point where I think they realize that, you know, it can be anyone's night. And last night was Trey Murphy's night. It was Zion's night, to your point, as far as him finishing the game in the second half with a bunch of scoring numbers. Trey had a great first half, and then he kind of handed the baton over to Zion. But, you know, I talked earlier about how defense and depth are big advantages that the Pelicans have over the teams that are right behind them in the standings. I also think an advantage that they have on some of these teams is that they don't have to have a specific guy have a huge night. If Luka has a game where he's 2-for-12 from the field and scores 8 points, how much of a chance does Dallas have to win that game? I would say pretty much close to zero. But if Ingram has 7 points, they still win a game pretty handily on the road. Mm-hmm. If CJ has a game where he doesn't score that much, it's still fine. They have so many weapons that, and I think they've come to the realization that you don't have to force anything. A lot of these other teams that have star guys or players that have been in the All-Star game a bunch of times, they go into every game saying, if I don't have a huge night, we're going to lose. So I think that is, to me, that's the biggest maturation that the Pelicans are making, is that you're seeing less stuff forced on offense. You're seeing fewer guys say, like, okay, I have to score tonight or we're going to lose. Because, I mean, how many times have we seen it where two or three of their top scorers have below average nights and they still win easily? Then they win again on the road. They win by double figures. I mean, it's impressive the way that they can still, you know, do what they did Sunday, even with Ingram being quiet as far as being a scorer.
I like to think that one of my skills is observing. I mean, I've been a sideline reporter. You know, I love observing. I think body language can tell a lot. And there were so many moments in that game yesterday, and even on the road trip, where you see that. You don't see the panic. You see the calm. As I mentioned, you could see. You know, I love Zion getting the tee yesterday. You know, I love Herb Jones going, you know, he knew he didn't have the right dunk. And Jose was giving him the thumbs down, which you brought up. But, Jim, you know what all that comes from? Time on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a metric you haven't brought up, but maybe that's something we need to focus on, too, as well. Because now we don't talk about it anymore. But for how long was a topic of conversation CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson have only played 10 games together, mm-hmm. have only played 12 games together. I think you're seeing before your eyes the actual benefit, as crazy as it sounds, of playing almost an entire season together. I mean, that's what had happened. You haven't had any of those guys really miss months. I know CJ had a little bit of a thing. Zion maybe missed some games, but he's been playing back-to-backs. Brandon Ingram's been relatively healthy. And I think that's what you see, Jimmy. You see a comfortableness on the court. And I think a lot of times we're skeptics, right? But Zion, from the beginning of the season, is like, I love playing with Brandon. Like, we talk about how we want to take over games, we do that. We go all the way back to November, early in the season, when Willie Green started the that's the best two players in the league thing. Like, they've believed that, and maybe here we are sitting on March 11th and we're starting to see it. But they've been doing this, believing it, and talking about it, Jim, for months. But I do think what you see, and it's something you cannot replicate, you have to do it on the court. I can practice with you. Mm-hmm. We can talk about it in the locker room. But until you're in games, until it's down to 9, until it's, it got down to 5 on the road, until you go through those situations together, you just don't know how to go about it.
I'm sure a lot of people that follow the team and have followed the team for the last few years are just really happy and have a smile on their face to realize that I think the team being together and this core being together now for 3 years, a lot of that is finally really starting to pay off in terms of the chemistry on the court. And like you said, bottom line, chemistry off the court is great. The camaraderie is great. But
well, listen to what you said. They've been together for 3 years, but they haven't played together for 3 years.
And it's also been interesting to be on the other side of the fence finally lately, where you're the team that is healthy and has guys playing, and the teams you're playing against have key players out, and that they've been able to take advantage of that, the Pelicans as well. But I think, I mean, to me, one of the most satisfying things about the first 64 games of the season and where they are right now is that we spent a lot of time the last couple of years saying that they just need to be healthy, they just need to play together, and we will see the results that we're looking for. And I mean, I feel like teams across the NBA, especially young teams that are trying to build towards something and have players that have potential but haven't really reached that, teams like that say that all the time. But then ultimately, it doesn't always pay off. It doesn't always – a lot of times it's just talk. Yeah. Like when you actually do get everyone together on the court, it doesn't fit together, or some of the guys that you expect to blossom and turn into really good players don't, because that's the way the NBA is. I mean, you're not going to nail all of your draft picks. No team does that. But to me, what's really satisfying right now is to see that all of the – I don't know if you want to call it promises or – talk or, you know, vows to do X, Y, Z, that a lot of that stuff is unfolding right now, that it wasn't just empty promises of saying like, well, you know, once we get it together, we'll be good. And other teams around the league are like, yeah, sure. Okay, yep. We need to see it. We need you to prove that on the court. And I think that's what the Pelicans are doing right now. They're showing what they're capable of when they have near full strength and they have their main guys together. And like you said, I mean, 64 games that they've played, it's probably been about 50-something that they've been real close to full, right, either right at or near full strength. I mean, we had a little stretch at the beginning of the season where they started out 4-6, and we're still waiting for guys like Trey, Jose, Najee to play. But if you look at the stretch that I keep going back to of December 1st on, they've been a really good team, and they've basically won two-thirds of their games since then.
Well, as we wrap up this juicy segment here, I'll wrap up with this. Your main thing, a lot of it today, was about defense. Did you see the video that Christian Clark and others posted yesterday in Atlanta?
I'm not sure which one you're referring to.
I probably do need to let you know that, because there's a lot of videos I show you. I'm talking about Dyson Daniels getting some on-court work. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did see some stuff there? I don't know. I don't know anything. But, man, we hadn't even talked about that.
Right.
And what he brings to the table with his defensive pressure, with his size, and how that's going to affect in a series. Again, it's no longer about can you win a game, can you become competitive, can you be a playoff team. The Pelicans are now in the can you win a series mode. You need to win 4 out of 7 games. That's matchups, that's depth, that's bench. Can you play defense in those moments? Can you close out games? It's going to be clutch. I did see last season, I brought this up too as well in the postseason, that it was crazy to me that you were going to have a finals in which both teams that were in the finals had lost by like 30 points in a game on the way to the finals in one of the rounds of the playoffs. That's just today's NBA, mm-hmm. though. So right. You're going to get that. But primarily in the postseason, those games come down to the fourth quarter. But that's something that I think is key to keep an eye on. Dyson Daniels. What if he comes back by the end of March? It could be little birdies here and there, you know, kind of make me feel that it could happen within the next couple of weeks here. But bottom line, if you can get him back, Jim, beginning, middle, even some of that 11-game gauntlet at the end of the season that we talked about, where you're facing just insane teams all with so much on the line, how big would that be?
It would be big. I mean, the Pelicans are covered in a lot of areas defensively, but I don't think they don't have a big guard defensively. So, I mean, with some of the teams that we look at that they're competing against right now, I mean, whether it's the Suns have Devin Booker, who's a great two guard who can score. Unfortunately, we've seen that firsthand, that he can go for 50 points in a game. Luka and Kyrie with Dallas. Dyson gives you another defender in the backcourt that can match up against a bunch of different guys and add to, you know, what Herb and Najee do as far as the wing position. So, yeah, would love to have him back, and that would just give you another option that you can go to that can match up against a bunch of the top offensive players across the Western Conference.
All right, no doubt. Well, Jim, now time to get into what we like to do on Mondays, and that is focus on a player. Player of the week, and then a player to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the player of the week. And I gave fans 24 hours to vote on this on Twitter, but it looks like it's not going to be much of a race that Trey Murphy is going to be the player of the week. He has 71% of the votes as we record this on Monday morning. I mean, he was just fantastic. He led the team last week in the 3 games, averaging 24 points a game. He made 18 threes, so some quick math. He made 6 threes per game. Obviously, he had 10 in one of the games, so he was outstanding. A couple of the other options, Brandon Ingram averaged 7 assists a game. Zion averaged 8.7 rebounds and 2.3 blocks. Herb Jones was 7 for 13 on threes. There was a couple other guys that I could have put on there, but X only gives you four options for the polls. So, but it looks like Trey Murphy just outstanding work. And actually, that's the first time this season, I looked this up on the list, the first time this season that he's going to win the player of the week. So hopefully there'll be more of those in store for Trey, because we know when he plays at his top level, the Pelicans are very difficult to beat. There's some incredible stats about, you know, when he scores X amount of points, they're 15-0. When he makes three threes or more, they're, you know, have like a 90% winning percentage. So that was, you know, a huge factor in the 3-0 road trip.
Did you bring up the stat that the collective with Brian Windhorst brought up?
Which stat is that?
With Trey Murphy.
Which
so,
one?
Since the in-season tournament, they're number two in net rating defense, period, right? Mm-hmm. But also, here's the key. They're 10-0 in Trey's 10 best games. 1-6 in his 7 worst games. So Trey Murphy's pretty key. I mean, Brian Windhorst says flat out, the Pelicans are extraordinarily difficult to beat when Trey Murphy's having a good game. So to your point.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've said that he's one of the biggest X factors for the Pelicans. And, I mean, you could make the case based on that and just based on what we've seen all season that not only the biggest X factor for the Pelicans, but maybe in the Western Conference as well. So, I mean, he's a huge reason of why they win when he plays well. And then the player to watch this week, I went with Jonas Valanciunas. Based on the opponents, Cleveland has Jared Allen at center. The Clippers, Ivica Zubac. He's not really a known brand name, but he's a really big factor for them. And then Portland with DeAndre Ayton. So this might be more of a Jonas week where they're playing against guys that are more traditional fives. They're not playing as many players who are, I mean, none of those three players I listed are going to wander out to the three-point arc and make JV chase them and shoot a bunch of threes.
Right.
So I think, you know, maybe this will be a week that his minutes go back up. But it's interesting, too, just briefly with Cleveland has, like you mentioned earlier, Cleveland behind Donovan Mitchell had a really, really good stretch. But we're not sure about his status for Wednesday. He's missed the last few games. And they've kind of had a run here lately where they've won every other game. They lost Sunday to Brooklyn at home. Didn't have Mitchell. So we'll be monitoring that, because this could be another example where the Pelicans play a team that doesn't have their all-star and best player. And then Friday against the Clippers, obviously we mentioned that earlier, that could be one of the biggest games they play in March, and we'll keep an eye on how many games behind the Clippers the Pelicans are. And then wrapping up the week Saturday against Portland, which, I mean, they're definitely already in the mode of playing younger guys. They have a couple veteran players who have been out between Malcolm Brogdon and Shaedon Sharpe and a couple other players. So you're going to see a lot of names that you might not be that familiar with when the Trailblazers are here. But interesting collection of opponents, and important, you know, they went 3-0 last week. It'd be great if they could go 3-0 again this week, but really happy after this long stretch of road games and days off to be back in the Smoothie King Center. And on Wednesday, they'll play their first home game in 12 days. So looking forward to seeing the Cleveland Cavaliers and whatever version of them that is here. Like I said, they've been struggling because they've had guys that have been sidelined by injury, with Donovan Mitchell being the most important of that group.
That is Jim Eichenhoff for Pelicans.com. Jim_Eichenhoff is the way to follow over there on X. As always, man, appreciate the time. Should be a fun week. Got a couple of days off as well. The Pels have really benefited from having some time right in between games. You have a back-to-back at the end of the week. It's going to start getting a little busier. But I do think it's helped, right? Having a few days?
I definitely think so. I mean, they seem energized. Yeah. I feel like they would be.
They don't play until Wednesday.
Right. They would be probably anyways at this time of the season, especially with what's at stake and the fact that they're in the best position they've been in by far at this stage of the season with this group of players. But you're right. I mean, some of the games recently where they've had multiple days off before the game, they've played extremely well in all of those instances and brought a ton of energy. Maybe they didn't sustain it for the entire 48 minutes in the Philly game, for example, but overall, I definitely think that that's helped to have all these off days. And like you said, it's another stretch of off days coming up before Wednesday against Cleveland.
There we go. Well, we'll see you again on Wednesday right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, and get you ready for that game against the Cavaliers. Should be a fun, fun week, and let's see where the Pels are when we get that going. Thanks for tuning us in. Until then, have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Join us 3 times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or where you get your podcasts. And be sure to give Jim and Gus a follow on X at Jim_Eichenhofer and GCAT_17. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.